So how are you, my friend?
Been better, to be honest. You'll probably hear it a little bit in my voice today that I'm kind of getting over a bad head and chest cold that I had that started about a little over a week ago.
It's just taking a while
just to clear it out. But I'll live. I'm fine.
For what it's worth, I can't hear any of it here.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I can tell. I can hear it.
Well, I mean, I guess that's how it goes.
Yeah. So, listeners, you're just going to have to bear with me on this one today.
Not a problem, sir. I mean, what are friends for, right?
Exactly. I appreciate that.
What are friends for?
Good question. Well, lots of things, I'm sure.
Well, I guess that's the question.
And that's our show.
Welcome to another episode of That's Our Show.
He is Glenn, and I am Jim, your hosts.
That is who we are, and today we're discussing friendship rules.
Yeah, so what are friends for, or what are the rules for friends?
Well, the first rule about friendship is you don't talk about friendship.
No, I don't think so.
No? Well, I think we'll have to go through this and kind of decide what some of the like major rules are, like the Ten Commandments of friendship kind of thing. And then I mean, a lot of it is loyalty to friends and just general etiquette, maybe.
I suppose. I mean, I tend to think that probably some of this is kind of on a case by case basis, but let's get into it and see where we land.
Well, here's an example. Would it, if we were driving somewhere, if I were driving and Gina were with us, my wife, would it
she
be,
would ride shotgun.
She would ride shotgun. So, okay, so that would be a rule for you. What about if both Gina and Erin, both of our wives, were in the car?
Well, if you're driving, then Gina should still have shotgun and we'll be in the back seat making out. I mean... I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
Note to self, don't drive Jim and Erin anywhere.
But no, in all seriousness, you would both be sitting up front, we would both be sitting up in the back. I think that's just, that's just like couples etiquette.
All right, so let's start with the 10 commandments of friendship. Do we need 10 of them? The friend commandments. All right, sorry. So there's like obvious rules, I feel, in place, things like thou shalt not date your friend's ex.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of something that people generally look down upon.
I
but
yes, but
okay, so I will speak for myself. I actually was on the other side of that at one time.
The dater or the datee? Well, wait.
The ex, I guess you should say. Where my college roommate started dating an ex of mine, and I had no problem with it.
Okay.
They got married and had a family, and I'm perfectly happy for them. I'm fine.
That's good. I have something similar that's way, way worse. So I had a roommate. This was after college. I was on the dating apps. And I matched with someone and had like a few phone calls with them and set up a time to meet and everything. And I think I was running late or something. I don't even remember what the deal was, but my roommate was home. I was not. Or maybe they ended up talking after one of our dates. I don't even remember what it was. All I know is he ended up dating her.
Oh, okay.
Now that to me...
Well... Yeah, I would say that's not so cool.
But that's not even an ex.
No, it isn't.
That's a, I don't know what that is. I mean, it wasn't a girlfriend or anything.
That's not so cool in my opinion.
Maybe it should be thou shalt not date your friend's date.
Yeah, or your friend's prospective date.
Yes.
Thanks
in certain circumstances, I think the dating of exes is possibly acceptable.
Yeah, I think it requires a check, though. Like, is this cool with you?
It's a good idea, yeah.
All right, how about thou shalt not one-up a story?
That can be difficult to do, I think, sometimes. I mean, are you talking about in the context of talking to each other? Or talking to other people?
No, I think that's got to be talking. That's got to be a public conversation for each other. Right. I don't think it matters really.
Right. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I think if you're talking to each other, then especially if there's quite a bit of alcohol involved, then it's going to be probably fairly natural to get into that kind of a thing where, wait, do you hear about this? No, you think that's bad. What do you hear about?
Yeah, I think one-upping each other one-on-one is encouraged.
Right.
But you don't want to be like, oh, well, if you think his story's good, wait till you hear mine, kind of.
Yeah, then it kind of comes off as you're being competitive.
Yeah.
Right. Fair enough. All right. I'll accept that one.
We are going from a list on this that I noted down. I don't know where this came from, but regardless. Thou shalt not borrow money outside an emergency.
Yeah, I've never really... I'm trying to think if I've... It's been very few instances where I have even been in a position of dealing with money with friends. Mm.
It doesn't come up a lot. And I feel like the one that follows this, which I added, is more important. And that's, thou shalt not expect repayment when lending. So if you do lend money to a friend, just assume it's a gift.
Yeah, that's not lending. That's just giving a gift.
Yes. But I mean, but you wouldn't turn like if you said, hey, Glenn, can I borrow $100? And I said, sure. And gave you $100.
Wow, that's very generous of you.
But so with something like that, I would hope you would pay it back, but I'm not going to expect that you would pay it back.
Well, that's very noble of you, but I certainly wouldn't blame you for expecting that I'd pay it back. Because that's what you should do.
It sounds like you're downvoting that rule as well.
Which one? The one about not expecting to be paid back?
Either one. Both.
Well, I think you're well within your rights to feel like you should be paid back, but
there's a subtle difference between being in your rights that you should be paid back and expecting to be paid back.
Okay. Well, I think that's a situation that you'd have to work out with the friend.
See, to me, I wouldn't loan any money that I couldn't afford to lose, so...
Then don't loan it. Give it as a gift.
Well...
And just state outright, you do not expect this to be paid back.
I would still consider it a loan. And then, like, if you don't... But if you don't pay me back, I'm not going to end a friendship over somebody not paying me back. I guess that's what I'm saying.
That's the bottom line. Yeah. I think you're getting the.
Yeah. And I think that's what these rules are. It's like, would you end the friendship if this happened?
Fair enough. And yeah, I think unless you loaned like $1,000 or some really high value, which is probably not wise to do anyway.
Yeah.
Then I would think it's not something worth ending a friendship over.
That's why we have the thou shalt not borrow money outside of an emergency.
It's probably best, I think, to avoid doing that. I'd be more likely if I were in a situation to borrow money, I'd probably not go to friends first.
No, I definitely wouldn't. So this next one seems to kind of go back to thou shalt not one up a story. That's thou shalt always back thy friend in public, even if they're wrong.
I have trouble with this one. I don't know.
I think it depends on the situation.
Yeah. I mean, if you're like correcting, if somebody's making like a factual error about something they're saying, then if it's minor, like, you know, just a minor detail and you know it to be incorrect, I don't think you necessarily have to go out of your way to correct them.
Agreed.
In situations like that. You can let that slide.
Yeah, but to me, like, if you're in some sort of formal public situation, like, let's say, I know this would never happen, but let's say your company was having some sort of dinner party and you invited me there and you were talking to your colleagues and you said something that I know is wrong. That to me would be a situation where I would just keep my mouth shut and later go, you know. Yeah,
okay. That's fair. That's valid. I wouldn't disagree with that.
All right, I think this one is more for the modern friendship. Thou shalt not post an unflattering photo without permission.
Oh, the one, like the one of you passed out drunk on the couch?
Hey, you said you weren't going to post that.
I just said I wasn't going to post it, not that I wasn't going to talk about it existing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
That's different. Yeah, well, I think that's a valid one.
Depending on the level of unflattering, maybe. Well, if it's just minorly unflattering.
Like, okay, if you grew like ridiculous facial hair, not that you're ever known to do anything like this, mind you.
Me
but
never.
But if you grew ridiculous facial hair and I happen to have a photo of it, then I'm sorry. I think that's a case where it would be forgivable for me to post that.
Probably, yeah.
But the aforementioned scenario of you being passed out drunk on a couch, I think that's a case where some discretion should be exercised.
Well, it kind of depends. Like, you know, if someone took a Sharpie and drew a penis on my face, then yeah, I probably wouldn't want that posted. But if it just looks like I'm sleeping on a couch.
Yeah, well, discretion.
Yes. All right. Next. Thou shalt.
Or lack thereof in the case of drawing on the face.
Yes. Next. Thou shalt respond eventually. Ghosting is not an art form. We all get busy, but reply when you can.
I guess that's generally pretty reasonable, although I'm sure there are instances where people just forget or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it can happen.
But, I mean, do you think there are situations where, you know, somebody texts a comment to somebody else and just like, I can't really think of anything to respond to this. I'm just not going to reply.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like what, give me an example.
I don't know. Just, if you texted me like some random GIF file about something or another, I usually reply at least some brief comment to you, just at least so you know that I acknowledge that I got it. But is that always necessary? I don't know.
I think I don't know that I'd be okay. If we go back to the, would I end the friendship over it? No. If you didn't reply to a GIF I sent, I wouldn't end the friendship over it. But I would be right. Like, hey, did he? I would maybe eventually say, hey, did you get this?
Fair enough.
Because I don't know. Maybe some of the stuff I've sent does seem random, but to me, it's like, oh, this makes me think of Jim, so I'm going to send it to him.
Fair enough. I think it's somewhat circumstantial. I mean, if you're asking me a question or you need to find out something from me or you're trying to set up a time for getting together or anything like that, obviously I should respond to you, no doubt.
Yes.
If it's something more casual like that, we're just sharing some amusing little picture, text, or whatever.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think there could be arguments made, especially if I'm really busy and just in the middle of other things that maybe I don't quite get back to you 100% of the time.
All right, next up, thou shalt celebrate thy friend's wins. Jealousy should not be a factor. Even if the win is tiny, friends celebrate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kind of goes without saying.
That is kind of like a pretty basic one, I think.
Yeah.
This one I don't know if I quite understand. Thou shalt not weaponize inside jokes. Inside jokes are best kept inside. Funny between friends may be confusing or cruel if shared outside.
I could see that. Yeah, there are certain circumstances where if other people don't have full context of your inside joke, then they will probably not interpret it correctly.
Yeah, I guess. It's still just like really difficult for me to think of any example of that, but move on. Thou shalt not flirt with their relative, spouse, or nemesis. Spouse for sure.
Oh, well, yeah.
But relative? I mean, I would rank these. Definitely not spouse, maybe not nemesis, but relative is probably like...
Well, I mean, there are only so many ways people can meet each other.
Yeah.
That, you know, can make a connection with people. And I would think that, you know, a relative of your friend is one of those potential avenues that comes up a lot.
About the only thing I feel could go bad with that is like if the relationship then goes bad, the friendship could get awkward.
There is that risk, yeah. It might depend on, you know, how close relatives we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Thou, Nemesis, I'm still amused by that.
I think that should be encouraged. Then if you break up and treat them bad, you know? All right. Thou shalt forgive weird phases. If your friend had a fedora era, you do not speak of it. Private correction clause allowed during weird phase, but be kind.
Yeah, I'm usually not even doing that then. Like, hey, you do you.
Yeah.
If I disagree with it, I would probably tend to keep my thoughts to myself.
But what if I just started, like, wearing a cowboy hat all the time?
Fine. I don't have a problem with that. It would seem rather uncharacteristic of you, but...
What if I shaved off half my mustache?
Which half?
The outer half.
That's what I was afraid of, you're going to say. That could be a little awkward.
Yeah, I think it would be okay for you to not forgive that.
Well, I think you'd invite more trouble on yourself than me, so... But I know you wouldn't do that anyway.
No. That kind of goes through what we had listed as the friend commandments. Are there 10 of them? Let's say we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Apparently it was the 11 commandments.
We go up to 11.
Yes. We didn't agree with all of them, so I'm sure we didn't even end up with actual 10, but...
Yeah, it's probably like 9 or 10 out of those that were more or less okay.
Yeah. If you have any thoughts on friend commandments that we did not cover, please send us an email at show@backstage.link.
Please send us an email, please.
Meantime, we'll be back after these messages.
When you go for a fling on the flume, is he sitting far downstream?
Get close, get closer.
When you book a cozy little table for two, do you find something has come between you?
Get Certs, get closer.
Only Certs has flavor crystals and retsin for great taste and fresh breath that lasts over an hour. When you want a smooch, does she call the pooch?
Get Certs, get closer.
And we're back.
They're going to say, and loving it.
No, I'm not loving it, but we are back.
Yeah.
So here we're going to get into like the weirdly specific rules of an individual friendship.
Okay. Things that there probably aren't anything universal here.
Right. It doesn't go from friend group to friend group, but it stays within that friend group. Like, for example, whenever we collaborate on something, we have determined for whatever reason that my name comes first. It's always fair Glenn enough. And Jim.
Yeah.
Except when we, on any official documents, I guess, it's Glenn and Jim. Sometimes we'll just say Jim and Glenn to mix things up, but.
Yeah. Or we just picked an order and for consistency, we're sticking with it.
Right. But I mean, I had a different friend that I collaborated with a lot, and we decided that it was going to reverse every time. And I guess it's different because we were really trying to sell something.
Right.
So the thought was we would reverse it every time. And then whichever one sold, we would then go with that.
Okay.
But we never sold anything. So.
Oh. I guess I just prefer consistency.
No, I'm all for that, especially since my name is first. Also,
in a previous collaboration, I think I had the second name as well. So I'm kind of used to being in that slot.
Hmm. Fair enough. Another one, like for us, is if we need any music created for anything from the backstage group, you get first crack at it.
Yeah, well.
You're a musician.
Of course.
So other weirdly specific rules within a friendship could be like who sits where when you go to a restaurant. We don't have that.
Well, what are the options?
I don't know.
That one seems like, a little odd.
I always sit with the window at my left. I honestly don't even know. That does seem odd. Or who drives on road trips could be one.
We generally, well, we kind of haven't really taken that many road trips together recently.
No, but we have done, I mean, we have had situations where both of us are like together with our spouses and yeah, we've driven places. And then there's been our road trip episodes for podcasts.
Right.
And for those I drive. Well,
yeah, because I was controlling the recording equipment.
Mm-hmm. And I think
it's a little bit hard to do and drive at the same time.
Yeah. Yes. I think when we've done like winery trails and stuff, I think you've driven because you have a higher tolerance than I do.
Well, I think the one trip that the two couples of us did that, I initially wasn't actually drinking it. I was tasting it, but not drinking it.
Ah.
At least to start with. And then for medical reasons and for sobriety reasons, but I took that one for the team.
Well, thank you.
But that's more of a case-by-case basis. It's not really a hard and fast rule. Although, if tolerance is a factor, then maybe it makes sense.
Yes. There's also who controls the stereo on road trips.
I said probably the person driving, I'm guessing, unless they delegate it to the passenger.
I totally agree with that. Yes, the driver should have control. So I guess we kind of do have an unwritten rule there. If your friend says, I can't tonight, don't ask why.
Don't ask why.
That's just rude to ask, yeah. Right?
If I want you to know, I'm going to tell you.
Exactly. Another one, no unsolicited advice unless indirectly solicited.
Yeah, that can be a challenge. And I'll say the reason why it's a challenge is there are certain personalities who feel like they have to fix things.
Yeah.
And because my career is as an engineer, I get paid to fix things for a living, so it kind of spills over into my personality. So I think I've had to maybe learn to bite my tongue sometimes.
I can understand that, and I'm kind of the same way. I think that was partly my 20-plus year career as an editor, that I was always correcting people, too,
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely something you said about your profession kind of spilling over into your personality to some degree.
Yeah, for sure. Another one that's on here is the mockery rule. Teasing, it's fine if it's clear. I don't agree with that. There's a limit.
Okay.
Because you have to know, when you have a good friend, you kind of know that there are certain areas that they're not going to want to be teased about.
Yes, I agree with that.
And
you have to have enough empathy to know where you can't push.
Yeah, I think friendships are a more open place for teasing than, you know, acquaintances or strangers. Obviously, you're not going to just go up and tease a stranger. I would hope.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that sentiment. Yeah. But you have to know where to draw the line.
Yes,
no matter
exactly.
What.
All right. Rules versus pet peeves. So how much of this is, the rules we have, how many of them are just like one of our pet peeves has kind of ended up as a friendship rule?
This is very much on a case-by-case basis. Everybody has their own individual pet peeves or annoyances. And friendship is about learning what that is and, you know, coexisting around it or avoiding it or what have you.
But does that then become a friendship rule?
I think it could if it's something bothers you so much that it's kind of important to you to make sure that your friend is aware of it and to try to avoid doing it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, personally, I prefer pet cats over peeves, but...
Yeah, absolutely. They're much cuddlier.
See, we have something in our notes that says, list some of our pet peeves, then rank them from minor annoyance to friendship ending. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm fine skipping that.
All right. Official rules of Glenn and Jim's friendship.
Do we have the friendship agreement?
Well, I mean, we can put these in the notes so we save them for posterity. I don't know. I mean, I feel like the best friendships don't have rules.
They have guidelines.
Really more guidelines.
Yes.
it's not that they don't have rules, but they don't need to be spoken. They don't need to be written. I think that's the whole point here is all of these rules of friendship should be unwritten if the friendship is good. If you've got to start writing these down and acknowledging them, then I think something's wrong.
Well, it just kind of puts it kind of belies the idea that maybe there's a certain empathy or intuition that's missing from a friendship, which then kind of puts into question how good of a friendship is it?
Yeah. And I personally at least don't find that missing in our friendship. I've never felt like, wow, Jim really crossed the line here.
Oh, that's good. Whoo! I was worried.
You can breathe easy now. So yeah, I'm gonna just go off the notes at this point and say we don't need to make official rules of our friendship because
there are no rules.
Well, I mean, to some extent, there are no rules. To another extent, the rules we have don't need to be written, don't need to be official.
Rule number one of this friendship, don't make rules.
Sounds good. And with that, we will take another break.
Into your world of style and graceful living comes a new design, the Trimline Foam. Sculptured to fit in the palm of your hand, the dial comes to you. The Trimline Foam, in a choice of luxurious colors. Call your Bell Telephone business office.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to bring our discussion of friendship rules into the present, the technological present, so to speak.
Yes, and we're going to talk about how, like, social media and texting, cell phones, adulthood in general for us have changed the rules.
But we met as adults.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Young adults.
Yeah.
Certainly social media and texting have, and technology has changed throughout.
Well, yeah, in nearly 25 years, it definitely has.
Man, we old.
Although, me. To be fair, I think some of this stuff existed for a while, but I didn't really use it for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, I think like back before cell phones and particularly the modern era of cell phones, if somebody called you, the rule was you call them back. Now yeah. The rule is more like, don't call me ever, just text me.
Yeah, funny how that works. I mean, is that for you? Let me just ask you this to step outside of this a little bit, but is that your preferred interaction method with your friends in general?
Yes.
Okay.
I know I am Gen X, but I go totally Gen Z on that one. I prefer texting. It's just easier because you can reply at your leisure. You can spend time and think about what you're going to say if you want.
Right.
And you can go back and be like, oh, what did we talk about? And then you can scroll back and see what it was.
You have a transcript.
Yes. You don't have to remember anything.
Yeah. Okay. I find in my own life, it depends on the person.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to be like texting my parents or anything like that. But.
Right. Right. And I think it can also depend on like what kind of a conversation you need to have. If it's something maybe a little bit more serious or something that's kind of just hard to convey in text, then I think a call is warranted.
I agree with that. And I would probably still text and go, hey, can I give you a call or something like that?
No, that's fine. Yeah, I get that. You don't want a cold call.
No. It's that's weird. Fine. I mean, like as a kid, like you'd pick up a phone and call people all the time because there was no other option. But the other thing
right,
is like,
that's the way to do.
Yeah. The other thing is you would just go to somebody's house and knock on the door randomly. Like, can you imagine doing something like that? Just showing up on someone's doorstep now?
Yeah. I'd feel pretty creepy about doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's weird. Somebody
I hate
did
to arrive
that.
Unannounced.
Somebody did that once to me as an adult, like, you know, after I started theater. So within the last like 25 years or so. And I remember just being like, what the hell are you doing here? It was very odd. Stick to texting, kids.
But is that just a you thing or is that just a different time kind of a thing, you think?
I think it's a different stage of life kind of thing.
Okay.
As a kid, it's more acceptable. And even like young adulthood, when you're, you know, like all your friends are in college and stuff, that's still pretty acceptable to just go to somebody's door.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I honestly, like, I would be very interested to know if like kids in college do that now. Like, do you go down the hall and knock on the door of somebody else's dorm room if you want to see them, or do you text them first, even if they're just, a short walk away?
When I was in college, it was just kind of knocking on the door.
Yeah. And if they weren't there, you'd leave a message on the whiteboard that was inevitably on their door.
There you go.
All right. Here's another one. The don't bail last minute rule, which now in our old age is pretty much just relief now.
What do you mean?
Canceling plans. I mean.
Oh, thank God. I don't have to see him tonight.
No, not specific to the person. It's, oh, thank God I don't have to exit the house tonight.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Well,
a hermit.
It kind of depends on how much you were looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily, like, last minute, like, canceling plans months in advance, that's one thing. But last minute could still be a little, particularly, like, for me, because I've got to, like, get a babysitter in place and that kind of stuff.
Right, right. I get it. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, things just come up and you have no control over it.
Mm-hmm. And here's another one that I never follow the old rule and don't follow the new rule. This one says the birthday call rule replaced with text or Facebook. There are some people that I try to remember to text them a happy birthday on their birthday. I think you're probably
usually
one of
get
them.
Me.
Yeah. I've got a handful of people that I do that. I don't do it on Facebook at all, just because it feels like people are only doing that because they're reminded of it.
Well, I couldn't possibly keep track of it all, other than, like,
I mean, almost
friends.
Every, at this point, you end up with hundreds of friends on Facebook, and almost every day is somebody's birthday.
Yeah, there's no possible way I can remember all of that.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily on Facebook every day either, so I might miss you.
Also true. But I think you've texted me on my birthday before, too.
Yes, I have. I've tried to return in kind.
Well, there you go. All right, here's one. No news is bad news has become no news means we're both busy. I think that's just a factor of adulthood.
Yeah, I think so.
Measurement. Yeah.
Perfectly
oh, this
fine.
Was a good
it's
one.
Just the way it goes.
I wrote this kind of axiom down. Measurement of friendship is ease of reconnection, not constant connection.
Hmm.
So to me, if you have all right, here's an example. My old friend Mark from college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've met him.
Right. He was at my wedding. He was in my wedding.
I was in your wedding.
Yeah. He moved years ago to North Carolina. And I was there once or twice to see him since he moved. And he's not good with email. He doesn't text. He's not on Facebook. I haven't spoken to him in any way, shape, or form in at least a decade. And yet,
okay,
I feel like if we suddenly connected somehow again, the friendship would just continue. There wouldn't be like this awkward starting over kind of thing.
Hey, let's call him right now and find out.
I don't know his number. That's the problem.
Well, so much for that idea.
Yeah. I mean, I probably would text him at least on his birthday if I did have his number.
Well, I think a good example I can bring up from my own life is a friend of mine who actually just saw a couple weeks ago. And, you know, he's married, he's got a couple kids, you know, busy family life stuff. We used to work at the same company. We used to go to college too. So we have a history together. You know, now he's off, he's worked at other companies, you know, we don't work together anymore. But yeah, just meeting up. We met up at a guitar show a couple weeks ago, and it was like riding a bike.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes with good friends.
Yeah.
All right, so some of the stuff like that we were looking at, we have the question, have the rules changed or are we lazier?
Maybe a little of both.
Probably a little of both.
Some of the rules, well, maybe based on what we were just talking about, some of the rules kind of maybe have changed due to technological differences over time.
Yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is that as the world changes, friendships need to adapt,
evolve,
or die.
Well, yeah, that's unfortunately true sometimes.
Yeah.
Laziness, I mean, it's debatable whether how much of it is laziness versus just you only have so much energy, and obviously there are certain other things that have priority in your life. And
only so many hours in a day.
I think true friends will understand this.
Yeah. Okay, then we have a few questions that are on here to kind of ask ourselves, how well have we followed these rules? If by these rules, we're talking about the ones that we just listed over the last 40 minutes, I don't know that we've really followed any of these. We've followed some just because of instinct, but they're unwritten.
Or etiquette. Yeah, we weren't entirely conscious of it. We just did it.
Yeah, which begs the question, are they even rules, really?
Or guidelines, like you said earlier.
Yeah, more guidelines. All right, when these rules have been broken by friends, how well have we dealt, or how have we dealt with them?
Well, we're still here to talk about it, so yeah. I would imagine relatively well.
And
I mean, maybe there were kind of times where we had some, you know, misunderstandings and had to kind of work things out or didn't quite get why is he all right, he's upset about something, what's going on here versus.
Yeah, no, I get that. And sometimes it's hard to tell because we do have more of a remote friendship these days. So other than recording these podcasts, we don't really see each other that much.
Yeah, I guess unfortunately that's kind of true.
Yeah. Sorry I moved so far
away. I will say sometimes it can be hard to accurately assess how somebody is feeling based on the communication medium.
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons that I feel that it's kind of important for us to do video call on when we're recording these podcasts is that I can see your face. I can see how you're reacting to it, except when you take a drink and then your head disappears. But other...
Yes.
I mean, we can go back to that example that I said before when I was doing online dating and a friend started dating my date. But how have I dealt with it? I think I may have told him at some point that I was upset about it, that yes. I did not think that was a cool thing to do. But right. I got over it and moved on and figured, well, clearly she wasn't meant for me. If she's meant for him, great, which she wasn't.
But, I think the point, though, underlying what you just said is that friends can work these things out even if somebody does break an apparent rule.
Yes, agreed. And I think that's like, that's the most important rule of friendship is staying friends and whether you can.
Well, yeah, then it's otherwise it's not a friendship.
Exactly. So I think we've just about said all we can about this and kind of broken it down to one rule is
the one rule to rule them all.
If you can stay friends, anything goes.
Okay.
So if you have any other rules at all that you have for friendship, you
yeah, can I borrow your car?
What? Yeah, sure. You can feel free to come by and pick it up.
Oh, wait. How am I going to do that? I need a car to get to the car to borrow the car. A train. I'll take a train.
Not that close to a train station.
I guess you're not.
Uber from the train station.
But it'll take a long time to get there.
Yeah. So if you have any friendship rules at all, I was going to say friendship rules we haven't covered, but it seems like we've decided there aren't any. But if you think there are friendship rules, actual hard and fast rules, give us an email at show@backstage.link and we may discuss them on a future show.
We may.
Meanwhile, we hope you have had a wonderful Thanksgiving. You can tune in, what is it, 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. I believe it is 1, 2, 3 weeks this time our next minisode. And then 2 weeks after that, the day after Christmas, is our next full episode. You'll definitely want to tune in for that one. Meantime, that's our show was brought to you by the Backstage Group.
Engineered by Jim Balsarek and edited by Glenn Reed.
You can find us online at show.backstage.link or email us at show@backstage.link.
Please give us a rating wherever you listen to That's Our Show and spread the word by telling your friends to listen.
As I said in, okay, our notes say 2 weeks, but I think it's 3 weeks. So in either 2 or 3 weeks, one or both of us or neither of us will be back with a minisode.
Well, that leaves the options open, doesn't it?
Yes.
Oh, well. But until then,
that's our show.
Okay.
Hey, stop the yawning.
Sorry.
Excellent. Nothing like a nice smooth start.
All right, focus.
Sorry.
Well, okay, yeah, go change the notes for after the fact. That makes sense.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm just checking the time here. It's 3:12.
Yep, that's correct. My clock in my office says 4:18. I am very well caffeinated, by the way.
Okay. I am not.
It's gonna be a short one, isn't it?